We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back into the Kia Studios. Ain't no woman like the one Brown Liquor Music Hour in full effect on a Friday. Gonna have some fun tonight, baby. Yeah, could be. Could be a dedication. Yes, yes. Give your shout-outs, 404-741-0929. That's our phone line. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with the show. Streaming online at 929thegame.com. That's our updated website. Check us out live, replays, clips, interviews, all that good stuff there, 929thegame.com. Download your radio.com app. Put that on your devices that you've got, phone, tablet, turntable, boombox, CD player, Sega Genesis, Commodore 64. That way you can catch us anywhere on the go. Social media, all of it is at 929TheGame. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all available to you. The best way to follow the show, though, is through our personal Twitter accounts. Follow me at JMCH316. Still trying to get to that 4,400 number. We've stalled quite a bit tonight. We've only gotten one new follower tonight. So we're at, 4,249 is where we're at tonight. We got a couple followers, I guess. So 4,249 is where we're at. So give us a follow. Follow me on Twitter at JMCH316. Trying to get to 4,400 by the end of the week in honor of the show 4,400. We got to 227 the other day, so we got Marla Gibbs and Jack A and Regina King all in. He's producing the show at Jarvis D90, at Jarvis D90. By the way, congratulations to Jeremy and Marietta. You want a pair of tickets to see SmackDown Live at State Farm Arena on Tuesday, September 17th. So see your favorite WWE stars on Tuesday. That's next Tuesday. Limited tickets available at WWE.com. He knew that it was Booker T. And his entrance music, the five-time world heavyweight champion Booker T. Jarvis and I were talking about that promo where he called Hulk Hogan the N-word, and that was Harlem Heat with Sherry Martel. And when he said it, he knew he screwed up, and Sherry Martel just kind of brought him over and pat him on the shoulder and all that kind of stuff. So, yes, and that did air, by the way. That did air live on all of it. So let's get to, as we're watching Braves 5-0 in the top of the ninth inning. Looks like they're going to take care of business against Max Scherzer. By the way, two things with the Braves real quick before we get into college football. They tied their single-season home run franchise record of 235 homers. That 2003 team with Chipper in left, Sheffield in right, Andrew in center, Vinny Castilla at third base, Javi had 40-plus homers that year. They tied that team's franchise record, so the next home run will break the record. Freddie Freeman left with elbow soreness as a precaution. Markakis is back tonight. He's hitting left field. Mike Soroka moved back into the number two spot in the ERA race in the National League. So Ryu's number one. Scherzer came in at number two tonight. Soroka was at three. The three or four runs that Scherzer gave up and none for Soroka. Soroka is now second in the National League. But keep telling me Dallas Keuchel is your number one starter. Let's get to some college football news. Yeah, okay. All right. Soroka's your best pitcher. Okay, that's your 1-4-7 starter. All right, South Carolina. We talked about this week, that California bill. Did you see that the California State Senate passed it unanimously? 73-0 they passed it. Okay, so now that bill is going to go to the governor, Gavin Newsom's desk to be signed into law. So let's see what Gavin Newsom does. So that's the Fair Play to Play bill, okay? So now there are two South Carolina legislators that are planning on, in the next recent movement of lawmakers attempting to give college athletes, they're going to introduce, and this is State Senator Marlon Kimson and Representative Justin Bamberg, they're going to, in January, propose the same type of bill for the state of South Carolina. So this bill, if you're not familiar with it, okay, we've been talking about it, out in California, it's on the governor's desk to sign. Starting in 2023, okay, scholarship athletes would be allowed to make money on their likeness. Now notice what I said, scholarship athletes. Well, I should say all athletes would be. But what I didn't say was football players only, basketball players only. Anybody who's an athlete on campus will be able to earn money off of their likeness and endorsements and things like that. It will be against the law to hold and keep a scholarship from somebody because they made money off it. I'm telling you, it's a change in movement out there. Now, here's the funny part. In this story in ESPN, Jarvis, okay, what have I been telling you? Who did they go for as part of the quote machine in this story? Dabo Swinney. I keep telling you guys, Dabo Swinney is the voice of college football now. Every time there's a story about collegiate football or athletics, Dabo's the first guy that they go to. He's the go-to mouthpiece of everything college football. Right, wrong, or indifferent, he's the college football mouthpiece of everything. So, again, he's obviously against all of this and not in favor of being able to make money and all that good kind of stuff off somebody's likeness. Well, another person who is also not in favor of it is Tim Tebow. So Tim Tebow basically saying about the California law that may go into effect, saying that I didn't, therefore they shouldn't. Basically, he says, now we're changing it from us, from we, from my university, from being an alumni, where I care, which makes college sports special, then okay, it's not about us, it's about we. It's not about we, I should say. It's just about me. And yes, I know we live in a selfish culture where it's all about us, but we're just adding and piling on it where changes where it to where it changes what's special about college football. We turn to the NFL where who has the most money, that's where you go. That's why people are more passionate about college sports than they are about the NFL. That's why the stadiums are bigger in college than they are in the NFL, because it's about your team. It's about your university. It's about where my family wanted to go. It's about where my grandfather had a dream of Florida winning an SEC championship, and you're taking that away so that young kids can earn a dollar. And that's not where I feel like college football needs to go. There's an opportunity in the NFL, but not in college football. Now, again, I respect Tim Tebow a lot, okay? I could not disagree more with his position on all of this kind of stuff, okay? It's easy for Tim Tebow to say that, by the way, too. The elite, listen, do you think Tim Tebow ever pays for another meal in Gainesville, Florida, or anywhere in the state of Florida? Do you think Tim Tebow, being a Heisman Trophy winner, doesn't have opportunities for himself unlike anybody paralleled that you could ask for? You know, he's different because he was great, okay? Not everybody's great, and not everybody gets the NFL. They may think they're getting the NFL, but they're not going to be in the NFL. If you have a chance in college to make your bones and make something of it, then go do it. Then go do it. And by the way, it's not like these kids are going to get millions of dollars, by the way. That's the other thing, too, okay? They're not getting millions of dollars. Okay, it's ridiculous to think that a student athlete, oh God, I can't believe I just said that word. It's ridiculous to think that those kids on campus can't go get money for pizza. Or if somebody wants to give them $20 for pizza, that's a violation of a rule. Okay? Like, the whole premise of that, to me, is completely ridiculous. I don't understand it. I don't know why, but it just is. Ready for this, Jarvis? So we heard Nick Saban's comments earlier this week about he wants kids to be in their seats and he doesn't understand why and this, that, and the other. You'd leave early in a 62-10 game in New Mexico State when it's 14,000 degrees. According to the New York Times, Jarvis, the University of Alabama has started tracking its students via an app on their phones who are attending home football games. The app can let the university know where the students are in the stadium during game day to determine if they remain at the game into the fourth quarter or if they leave early. Now, the students are not punished for leaving early, but their account could take a points hit in the rewards program that's part of the app. Quote, the Tide Loyalty Points program works like this. Students who typically pay about $10 for home tickets download the app and earn 100 points for attending a home game and an additional 250 for staying until the fourth quarter. Those points augment ones they garner mostly from progress they have made towards their degree, 100 points per credit, hour, etc. Okay? The more points a student has, the better chance they have to access to tickets like the SEC championship game and the college football playoffs. Oh, so the non-football players can get incentivized and rewarded. Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Okay. Thus, if a student stays at a home game in the fourth quarter, Jarvis, They have much better chances to score tickets to the prime events. Okay. Yep. The New York Times also wrote that students who download the Tide Loyalty Points app will be tracked only inside the stadium. This, according to Athletic Director Greg Byrne, said that they can close the app or delete it once they leave the stadium. Okay. How many people remember to download or take away their app on their phone and all that kind of stuff out there? Okay. All right. Good luck to you, Pam. Bryant-Denny Stadium, by the way, can seat about 17,000 students in its student section. Okay. How many wrong ways of this is there about that, Jarvis? Like, first of all, oh, okay, so the non-athletes can get tickets to the SEC championship game, but if the athlete gets tickets to the championship game, that's a violation of rules. Oh. Okay. All right. And you're tracking students' progress if they stay or not. I'm trying, Jarvis. I'm really trying. Okay. Texas says that its locker room reviews show that there were normal temperatures. Disputing what Ed Orgeron said the other day, Chris Del Conte ordered an internal review of the locker rooms, and according to a spreadsheet provided to ESPN by the Texas Athletic Department, the air conditioner was indeed working in LSU's locker room, showing the thermostat was set to 68 and the temperature in the locker room averaged about 72, 73 degrees. Texas also released charts and graphs showing airflow in the locker room. If they were this concerned about winning the football game and shutting down LSU's offense as they are about disproving the claims about the air conditioner locker room, Texas would be in the running for the national title. The world is so upside down right now, Jarvis. I can't even wrap my arms around all the crazy stuff. Speaking of crazy, when we get back, I got three questions for the Falcons as they take on the Eagles on Sunday. I'll give you those three questions next. Chuck Reed in the Kia Studios, Brown Liquor Music Hour, and a Fry-Yay rolling along. This is one of my favorite songs of all time. Sports Radio 910 The Game.
And these are the arms that long to lock you inside every day and every night.
Sports Radio, 92.9, The Game. All right, Chuck, we made one more request. A little Billy Ocean to get us going. Brown Liquor Music Hour in full effect tonight on a Friday. Telling you, I'm getting it cranked up tonight, baby. I got one more song for Jarvis. Screw it. Chuck was going for three requests in one night. Screw it. That's how I roll on a Friday. You know what? I'm going to go get drunk in between commercial breaks. How about that? See what you guys think about that. Anyway, 404-741-0929. That's our phone line. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Follow us on Twitter. Show's at 929 The Game. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at 929 The Game. I am at JMCH316. At JMCH316. He is at JarvisD90. Falcons, Sunday. All your talk right here. By the way, the magic number is 6. Are we still scared about the division or? 9.5 game lead with, okay. Wasn't there a guy that told you this? Like, never mind. I'm gonna be nice, Jarvis. It's Friday at 10:24. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Never let facts get in the way of what sounds good, Jarvis. That's right. It's our famous saying on this show. Anyway, haven't said that in a while, too. By the way, J Dub was the last one that reminded it. So, Falcons Sunday night. 8:30 game, NBC, you know the deal. Important game, no question about it. We've been talking a lot about it in the matchup this week and what the Falcons need to do. All your coverage right here, by the way, on 9:10 The Game. Got Wait For Tailgate Show starting at 4 o'clock. 6:20 is pregame for 6:20 pregame for Atlanta Falcons. 8:20 on the kickoff, Wes and Dave on the call. So we got you covered all the way around. But I've got three questions for the Atlanta Falcons about this game as we go into Sunday. Question number one, can the offensive line contain the pressure that the Eagles are going to bring with their front four? Now, one thing about the Philadelphia Eagles is that they don't have to do lots of blitzes and stunts and all that kind of stuff. Their front four with Barnett and Fletcher Cox and those guys, they're good enough to get pressure on you without having to send a lot of extra guys and do a lot of extra crazy types of things out of all of it. So we saw last week the struggles against Minnesota's defensive line and the fact that, yeah, guys like Anthony Barr running free. And for all the talk about the concern about, okay, what's the right side of the offensive line going to look like? It turned out to be, what's the left side of the offensive line going to look like? Because Jake Matthews couldn't stop anybody over there, which was really disappointing. So, you know, when you look at this matchup, Jamon Brown in, obviously Lindstrom out, okay? McGarry expect to play a lot more reps. It doesn't sound like, according to Dan, that he can play the whole game yet from a conditioning standpoint. But and I heard Kelsey Conway on, by the way, too, I think she was on this morning with John and Hugh, and thinking that there'll still be some rotation with Sombrero because he's just not up to speed yet on everything. Conditioning, you know, playing, and there's a lot of things. So they're going to have to get at it, though. Like, that's a good physical group of guys they got in there. But they're going to have to get at it. And it's not just protecting Matt because, look, the reality is that Matt has struggled against his team especially from a completion percentage standpoint. He's been very mediocre when it comes to completing the football against this defense. You know, Matt's had his issues up and down with the Eagles in the last few games that they've played against him. But protecting your quarterback to get those weapons out in some space and finding a way to effectively run the football, being able when you need to pick up those couple of tough yards and things like that and keep them on the field. You know, one of the things I would say is try to wear down that defensive line. Up tempo, no huddle, pace. You know, dictate to them. We talked a lot about this the other night. Don't react. I don't want to hear Dirk Cutter coming out and saying, well, you know, they had their jumbo package in and this, that. No, you go dictate to them. You don't wait for them to decide what they're going to do. You dictate tempo and pace to them. You dictate what's going to go on offensively and make them react to you. So you got to find a way to hold up against this defensive line that the Eagles are going to bring. That's question number one. Question number two, can the Falcons get over 100 yards rushing? So last week this team only ran for 73 yards, which I understand. They were blown out. And when you're down 28-0 at one point in that game, the run game doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot to you. And I understand, 27 yards may not seem like enough, a lot, but trust me, in the NFL, you start getting over 100 yards. That is an effective number. And it's not so much about big chunk plays and this, that, and the other, the way that Dalvin Cook was in. Sometimes you need a 3-yard run here and a 2-yard run here to move the chains and keep your offense on the field. That's where that extra 27 yards comes into. That's where that comes into is, okay, I got to keep my offense on the field. It's 3rd-and-2. Can I do it without Mohamed Sanu going under center? Can I do it without Matt and shotgun in 4-wide empty backfield? Can I line up and push the pile forward and pick up 2 yards when I have to have it? That may be one rush for 2.5 yards, but if it moves the chains, that's running it effectively. That's something that this team has not been able to do. So I think if this team can find a way to get to 100 yards, whether that's, you know, again, not just one guy, but as a team. Look, I expect maybe Ito Smith to get a little bit more run in this game because of what he did last week. Even if you've got to throw the football to loosen them up a little bit, like what's wrong with throwing to Allison and Freeman and Ito? What's wrong with throwing to them a little bit to get your running game opened up? Don't be afraid to toss the football. Devontae Freeman, we know, can catch the football a lot. We'll use him. And sometimes, by the way, you know, your early run game is that 5 or 6 yard pass to Devontae in the flat. But once you can do that and they have to respect that, now you get a chance to push that pile forward. So finding a way for the Falcons to run it for at least 100 yards in this game as a team. And I don't mean, by the way, Matt getting 40 of that. Matt Ryan's got to get 25, 30 yards of that. You're going to be in trouble. It's going to be a long day because if you're a quarterback, at one point, Matt was the leading rusher on the team for a while. He was actually the leading rusher for this team for a little bit of that game out there, which I don't say that in a good, in a positive way. I say it from a holy crap, what the heck happened kind of way with it. That's question number two. Question number three for the Atlanta Falcons. Julio's had big numbers, but can he find the end zone versus the Eagles? So let me give you the numbers for Julio Jones in the last three meetings as I drop my paper on the floor. Julio in the last three meetings against the Philadelphia Eagles. On 11-13 of 2016, Julio had 16 targets for 10 catches and 135 yards, but no touchdowns. In the playoff game in 2018, January 13th, 2018, 16 targets, 9 catches, 101 yards. Last September, September 6th of 2018, 19 targets, 10 catches, 169 yards, but again, no touchdowns. And we talked about, and we played the clip from Matt, about how they can't score in the red zone against this team. And we all know about the playoff and the crazy play calls there. We know about the Thursday night game and the crazy, you know, Julio slipped and just, we saw all that. Okay? It's not acceptable for Julio to be 6-31 this week. You had your, okay, you got week one out of your way, now you got to go ball out. But I also don't need 9 for 101 and you can't find the end zone. Okay? Like, you have to be able to find the end zone in this. When Julio steps out there on the field, he's always the best player on the field. There are very few times when Julio Jones steps on a football field and he's not the best player on the field, regardless of position. There aren't that many times. You know, if he lines up against the Bears defense, he might not be the best player on the field because that guy is so good on the defensive line. Okay? Maybe if he lines up against the Rams defense, that guy on the defensive line is so good. Okay? Used to be if you lined up against Houston's defensive line, that guy was so good that he trumped everybody. Okay? So there aren't many times when Julio Jones steps between the lines on the football field and he's not the best player that's on the football field. And while I understand and appreciate the targets and the catches and the yards, he's got to get in the end zone for this. You know, in these last three matchups, 29 catches for what? 405 yards. 29 catches, 405 yards, but no touchdowns. How do you have 405 receiving yards, Jarvis, and don't have a touchdown to go with it? That seems like a crazy number. And by the way, that's what, like over 15 yards a reception, right? 405 divided by 25, 29. Let's make sure I got that math right as we pull up our handy-dandy calculator. I think that's over 15 yards a reception, right? 405 divided by 29. 405 divided by 29. Almost 14 yards reception. So 14 yards per reception for Julio Jones. You would think he'd find a way to score. And we heard Matt Ryan say earlier in the week about how that they get shut down in the red zone and maybe you have to take your opportunities when they're there and you have to score outside the red zone. Okay, well, that's where your best player on the field has got to go get it done. Got to find a way. If that means you have to take a couple of chances and push the ball downfield and get it to Julio, push the ball downfield and get it to Julio. He's shown you over the last couple of years he's better than what they have at center. And we talked about this. Their strength is their defensive line. They're decent at linebacker, one good corner, but not nearly as good in the back of their defense as they are up front. There are plays to be made. Falcons need to get their offense cranked up and dictate to the Eagles on Sunday. Well, we saw Mike Soroka do his thing tonight. Coming up next, would you be comfortable having Julio Teheran make a playoff start? I got my answer. We'll talk about that next. Chuck in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 910 The Game.
Man, life is such a weary thing. But in my heels, oh.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Oh, it's Brown Liquor Music Hour. Having some fun on a Friday. Getting at it. Lots of good stuff. 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Jump on and interact with us. Give us a follow on Twitter. Trying to get this 4400 number. We've lost a lot of steam. We had a lot of good response the other night. Jump on board at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He's at Jarvis D90, at Jarvis D90. Hey, the Rockin' Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament is going to benefit the Travis Manion Foundation. Stars and Strikes, Sandy Springs is the place. Wednesday, September 25th from 4 to 7 p.m. is the time. Brian Jordan, Marquise Grissom, Muhammad Masqual, Ronnie Brown, Jason Campbell, plus many more stars. All of us from the station, well, almost all of us from the station will be out there. I'm sure Squid Billy and everybody, they'll get invited out to it, won't they? Yeah, like they'll invite all them out, right? Yeah, no, nobody said anything. You didn't get any emails or anything. Yeah. Yep. I get it. I understand. Also, too, don't forget about our Falcons watch party. They had the big watch party over here, or the big launch party over here, the pep rally over here at Atlantic Station. We saw the fireworks and everything going off. Falcons watch party is going to be at the Beverly Atlanta Sports Bar and Restaurant. That's off of Glenwood Avenue in Grant Park. Sunday starting at 7 o'clock, Falcons cheerleaders. Prizes will be on site. Chuck Smith going to be there. Lots of fun. Go there if you don't have a place to watch the game and want to come out and hang out and do all that kind of stuff. I got a busy day Sunday. Good Lord. It'll be Randy and I got a show from the Home Depot backyard. I'll be doing the Bud Light front porch, so we'll see you all out there for the tailgating. Rob Tribble and I are going to the game. He's got us seats in the lower section, 20-yard line. So if you see two drunken frat boys, it'll be Rob and I down in that area over there. So Braves win 5-0. Whitewash the Nationals tonight as a Mike Soroka, 6 innings, 1 hit, 4 Ks, 3 walks, 94 pitches. Now moves into second place in the National League in ERA. One guy not in second place in the National League, but it's not been terrible when all said and done, is Julio Teheran. But it feels like with that start the other night, yesterday, where he was 4 innings, 5 earned runs, 3 homers, the home runs reared their ugly head again with 3 walks and only 1 strikeout. It feels like Julio's gotten to where he's pitched himself out of any playoff rotation talk. Now, again, we fully expect that there's only 3, maybe 4 starters in a 5-game set, ideally only 3 starters in a 5-game set. Depends. If you're up 2-1, you know, and you're at home, maybe you pitch a 4th guy to rest somebody, try to close it out. But at the same time, Julio right now I don't think is figured into all of that. And you know, Julio has pitched well this year, I will say. I don't know if it's best year that he's had, but he has pitched well. But it seems like you get every 5th start or so for Julio Teheran, and it's just that clunker. You know, it's just that 4 innings, 5 runs, like we said. And it seems like it's about every 5th or 6th start. Now, he had that stretch through the month of May and the first couple of starts in June where he was terrific. He was terrific. I mean, it looked like he was unhittable, and he had his ERA below 3, and he was doing his thing. By the way, Jarvis, did we decide, do you like Queen Latifah like me? I'm a Queen Latifah kind of guy. I kind of dig her. Yeah, I kind of dig Queen Latifah. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of like her. I kind of dig her. You on her side? I know you had Jack A last night, but are you? Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I like Queen Latifah. I've always kind of dug her. So, well, Queen Latifah's definitely like she's more than duck butter thick. I mean, she's yeah. She's pit grease thick. she's pit grease thick. She's 3-day-old fish oil grease thick is what Queen Latifah is out there. Sorry, we have like sidebar conversations, you know, on air we're watching things on TV and stuff like that. But it just feels like if I have a playoff scenario and I got to get a win in a game, the last guy I could trust is Julio Teheran. You know, he may go out and throw 7 innings of 2-hit shutout ball. I'm not telling you he can't go out there and give you a masterful performance. But you just don't know which one. And that's the problem, is you just don't know which guy you're going to get. Then you wonder about, okay, will the ball stay in the ballpark tonight? Or what's going to happen with all this? What's going to happen? So I think he's kind of pitched himself out of any potential for start. I would tell you right now, he's probably at best the 5th starter on this team. I mean, even if you're talking about we get into a 7-game series, Soroka, Keuchel, Fried, Folty, and then probably Julio Teheran from there. You know, a couple of months ago, he might have been 3rd. You know, that's just kind of the ebbs and flows of how a season goes along. By the way, another side conversation. Yeah, Casey and JoJo, that would be Brownlicker. That's Brownlicker music. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Yeah, we can get some Casey and JoJo in. I might have one more request too, by the way. Well, we're getting kind of late. Sorry, we only got... This is our last segment. So you can have your Casey and JoJo. Then we got Love TKO. So I got a couple songs I'll save for next week when we get back at it. But I just, you know, I and somebody texted me earlier about, you know, will Snitker be loyal to him? Hey, listen, if he is, that tells you all you need to know. If Snitker pitches Julio Teheran in a 5-game set, okay, then you have to give me credit for everything I said was right. Because at that point, you are way too loyal. You got too many other options you can go with besides Julio Teheran. That would be the ultimate Snitker loyalty thing if he decided to go with Julio Teheran. Would it shock me or surprise me? No, it wouldn't shock me or surprise me. Because I understand the loyalty factor. It'd be the wrong decision. Even if he pitches well, it doesn't. Again, everything is easy to say after the fact in hindsight, okay? But it wouldn't be the right decision given his inconsistency and stuff like that. Now, maybe if you're up 3-0 in a series, okay, then I could say, okay, pitching Teheran's no big deal. You're up 3-0 in a series. I could understand that if you're telling me it's that kind of in that kind of environment. And a texter says put Teheran in the bullpen for the playoffs. The only thing is that it sounds good to say that, except that sometimes those guys just don't translate. It's a different way you're warming up and different mentality. Sometimes it's hard for some of those guys to transition. And I would tell you that's fine if he was a generational pitcher. I go back all the time and tell you, listen, what Bob Brenly did in 2001 is one of my favorite performances of all time for a baseball manager, because he just rode Schilling and Johnson and said, you got to win everything. And they won 11 playoff games to win the World Series. Schilling and Johnson won 9 of the 11 playoff games and had a save as well. You know, and if that's why I love Bruce Bochy. If I have to put Madison Bumgarner in to close out a game, I'm putting Madison Bumgarner in to close out a game. So I got news for you. If Teheran was at that level, I'd be cool with saying, hey, you got to use him. I just don't know. I don't know if you can trust him even in a scenario like that, where what if he doesn't have his stuff and it's a tie game and all of a sudden he walks the bases loaded? You know, that's the thing about Teheran is that does he have the stuff and can he get it done? Yes, absolutely. He can absolutely get that done. It's the trust factor. Do you trust him to go out there and get it shut down in a start or in a relief appearance? I think that's where it comes into. Because there are some of these guys, like, I can't imagine Swarzak makes the playoff roster. I would be amazed if he makes the playoff roster. Okay, I don't think Darren O'Day is going to make the playoff roster and pitch enough to get any kind of beat on him. So I understand the mentality about Teheran's been effective at times and put him in the bullpen. It's just a different mindset and a different way of having to get ready and you know, the way you warm up and getting a last second warm, you know what I mean? It's a different mindset, a different deal at times for those guys. But we will see. We will see. I mean, I think in the first round in a 5-game set, I'm going to be absolutely amazed if Julio Teheran makes the playoff roster. And Gabe kind of alluded to that too when we talked to him earlier, that Gabe doesn't feel like he's going to make the roster either, especially not in a 5-game series where you don't need an extra starter. Okay, you got 4 starters, that's plenty, and then you got your bullpen. You know, from there, you know, you can even afford, you know, to have maybe only 10 pitchers and decide, you know, do we carry an extra catcher, you know, or something in case. Because personally, I don't think that Tyler Flowers should be on the playoff roster. But that's, again, another one of those side point clarifications to everything. All right, you know, it's coming up next. It's gonna be time for that Love TKO Hot Take Tommy in the house. So we'll give it over to him next. Track me in the Key Studios. No, we've already given away all the SmackDown tickets for the week. None left. We gave away our last pair at 9 o'clock hour, unfortunately. All right, be back. Sports Radio 910 The Game. I will never find another lover sweeter than you, sweeter than you. And I will never find another lover more precious than you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.